Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll pick it up at verse 13. These continuing talks from Nehemiah, we see here Nehemiah's reaction to the plan of the enemy to attack Jerusalem and stop the rebuilding. What's Nehemiah's reaction to this? Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their counsel to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Well, let's take some background notes, first of all. The actions of Nehemiah here were designed to confront the enemy and thwart the enemy's planned attack on Jerusalem. Nehemiah, you remember, lived in the 5th century BC, and he was raised up by God to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. This was after the people had returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon. Now, a number of years had gone by after the people returned from Babylon, before they got around to rebuilding the ruined walls. But once they started rebuilding under Nehemiah's leadership, wall building went forward quite rapidly. But no sooner did the wall building begin than opposition from the surrounding provinces began as well. These Persian provinces did not want a strong Jerusalem. A strong capital city like Jerusalem would be a threat to them. And so the surrounding enemies, namely the Samaritans to the north, the Ammonites to the east, the Arabs to the south, and the Ashdodites to the west, they planned to attack Jerusalem and put an end to the wall building. They planned to put an end to Jerusalem's rise to a place of power and prominence. But word of the planned attack had leaked out to Nehemiah and the Jews. As a result, most of the Jews were scared. They were already tired and discouraged because of the amount of work involved in clearing away the ruins and building the wall. But now, they are filled with fear, and the great wall-building project is about to come to a standstill. Physical and psychological fatigue has taken its toll. But Nehemiah is not running scared. When he learns of the planned attack, he takes action. He positions an armed guard at certain places along the wall, as we can see there in verse 13. He exhorts the people not to be afraid. He reminds them to depend on the Lord. And he challenges them to fight for their families. Notice again, verse 14. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. The strategy works. The enemy realized that the element of surprise had been lost and that the God of Israel had intervened. So they called off the attack. Let's read verse 15 once again. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their counsel to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So the strategy worked. The enemy realized that they had lost the element of surprise. They call off the attack. So what does Nehemiah do at this point? Well, you guessed it. He continues to build the wall. He gets everyone back up on the wall, and they continue to build. And so that brings us then to our doctrinal point that we'd like to make from this portion of Nehemiah. And it's this. Offensive warfare defeats Satan. Offensive warfare defeats Satan. The Bible certainly teaches this truth, and it's well illustrated here. We've already referred to Ephesians chapter 6, and in that passage we have the armor of God listed, the armor of God that we're to put on, the spiritual armor, to protect us in spiritual warfare. Well, what do you remember about that armor? No armor for the back. Armor for every other part of the body, but no armor for the back. We're not to run away scared. We're to stand and fight offensively with the sword of the Spirit, which is Scripture. Remember how our Lord withstood Satan in the wilderness? He used Scripture 3 times over. It is written, it is written, it is written. Now notice how Nehemiah practices offensive warfare to defeat Satan here, to defeat the enemy. Remember, we could say either, to defeat Satan or defeat the enemy, because certainly behind the enemy of Nehemiah's day, Satan is at work. And it certainly illustrates how Satan is behind the spiritual battle that we fight. Remember, all of these tactics here are illustrations of principles that we should use and practice in spiritual warfare. So let's look at how Nehemiah practices offensive warfare here to defeat the enemy. First of all, we need to remember that Nehemiah has already set a watch and is continuing to pray. We've seen that in previous studies, watching and praying. But now we see in verse 13 that he sets a guard. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Now, these lower parts of the wall, these low places would be the exposed and less protected areas of the half-built wall. Nehemiah set the guard here not only to defend these areas, but so the enemy would see. They'd be able to see these areas. They'd be able to see that the Jews were protected and ready to fight. And the reason that Nehemiah set this armed guard according to families, as we read here, was probably because Nehemiah knew that the family units would stand and fight for one another. Now, in offensive spiritual warfare, we must be armed as well. Again, we refer to that spiritual armor passage in Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, let me just read a few verses there about the spiritual armor that we must put on in order to defeat Satan. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then further, we see that Nehemiah told the people not to be afraid. Not only did he set an armed guard, but now he tells them, don't be afraid. If you're afraid, you're no longer on the offensive. There's no need to be afraid. The Lord has promised to be with us. Listen to what the Lord told Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 20, when Israel was about to go into the land. Here's what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verses 3 and 4. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. So this is what God promised Israel back there in Deuteronomy 20. Well, the Lord has promised us the same. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you afraid of the future and what the future holds? Don't be afraid. Who holds the future? God holds the future, not the enemy. So we're not to fear. And when you're not fearing, you're maintaining the offensive. To run scared would be to lose the offensive. Furthermore, we see that Nehemiah told them to remember the Lord great and awesome. Remember the Lord great and awesome. This also is offensive warfare. To remember all that the Lord has done in the past would certainly have a positive effect and keep them on the offensive. For them to remember how God had divided the Red Sea to save them from the Egyptians, and to remember how in Hezekiah's day God had delivered Judah from 185,000 Assyrian troops. They all died in one night. All these battles that God won for Israel would certainly encourage them. Well, in the same way, as we remember what God has done for us, we're kept on the offensive. Have you seen God do anything big in your life in the past? Well, remember that event. We can all remember how great and awesome God was in the way he saved us. Never forget that. It keeps us on the offensive. And then you see that Nehemiah challenged them to fight. Fight for their families. This would also keep them on the offensive. With the family involved, they would fight harder. In the same way, we need to fight for the spiritual well-being of our families. The enemy is out to destroy the family. The family structure is being attacked constantly in the media, as you know. The media is always tearing down the family. We need to support ministries that uphold the family. And the more we realize this, the more we'll be on the offensive. Offensive warfare defeats Satan. Practical application, right from this doctrinal point. Be more than an expert in spiritual wall building. Be a leader. Be more than an expert in spiritual wall building. Be a leader. Now, what's the difference between an expert and a leader? An expert can diagnose the situation and tell you all the problems and what needs to be fixed. A leader not only knows what the problems are, but he knows what to do about it and does it. Nehemiah was a leader. Not only did he motivate the people with his infectious optimism, but he could size up the problem areas and he knew what needed to be done, and then he went out and did it. Look again, for example, at how Nehemiah deals with families. Nehemiah knew that family unity was very important. If the families didn't stay together, Operation Wall would come to a standstill. Now, Nehemiah not only realized that, and he certainly could have written it up in a diagnostic report, as we have here, but he's an expert. He's more than an expert. He's an expert in that he knew what was the problem, how to diagnose it, but he's more than an expert. He also does something about it because he's a leader. Now, we've already seen that the men who volunteered built near their home, not only so that they would be more responsible in their work, but so that they would be supported by their families and helped by their families. Nehemiah not only knew that, but that's the way he carries it out. He has the men working with their families, families supporting them, helped by their families. Now you see in verse 13, he stations the armed guard according to families because he knows that they will fight better in family units and also that the family units will be strengthened as they fight together. When a family unit pulls together to fight a common enemy, they don't fight each other. And then on top of all of this, Nehemiah challenges the fathers who are the heads of the households to fight for their families, for their sons, for their daughters, for their wives, and so forth. Nehemiah is more than an expert. He not only knows what needs to be done, he goes out and has it carried out. Well, we too are called to be more than experts. Let's not just know what the problem is, let's deal with it. Let's be leaders. Let's just continue this application in reference to the spiritual walls in our family. Most of us are family experts. We know what the problems are and what most likely needs to be done to go about repairing the spiritual walls. But some of us don't do much about it. We're too lazy or we're too busy. We don't care enough. We need to be leaders. We need to make time to have family devotions. There's so much we could say here. Maybe you're a young couple without children. Start now to have family devotions. Husbands and wives need to model the love relationship between Christ and His church. Fathers have to take the responsible positions of spiritual headship. Mothers need to support this role of the father. Maybe you're a single parent family. You must do what you can to teach your children God's love and teach them what a family should be according to the biblical model. We know these things, but we've got to do them. We need to be more than experts in spiritual wall building. We need to be leaders.